ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Canto 3, Chapter 19, entitled The Killing of the Demon Hiranyaksha, verse number 35. Yogajendram jashagrastam
Yogajendram jashagrastam
Dhyayantam charanam bhujam
Dhyayantam charanam
Roshantinam Karenunam
Roshantinam Karenunam
Pruchyato Mochayadrutam
Pruchyato Mochayadrutam
Yogajendram Jashagrastam
Yogajendram Jashagrastam
Dhyayantam Charanam Bhujam
Dhyayantam Charanam Bhujam
Roshantinam Karenunam
Roshantinam Karenunam
Pruchyato Mochayadrutam Yogajendram jashagrastam
Yogajendram jashagrastam
Dhyayantam charanam bhujam
Dhyayantam charanam bhujam
Kroshantinam karenunam
Kroshantinam karenunam
Pruchyato mochayadrutam
Pruchyato mochayadrutam.
Word to a translation. Yaha
Hi
hu Gaja Indram, the king of elephants, Jasha, an alligator, Krastam, attacked by, Dhyayantam, meditating upon, Charana, feet, Ambujam, lotus, Kroshantinam, while crying, Karenunam, the female elephants, Kritshataha, from danger, Amochet, delivered, Drutam, quickly. Translation: the personality of Godhead delivered the king of the elephants who was attacked by an alligator and who meditated upon the lotus feet of the Lord. At that time, the female elephants who accompanied him were crying, and the Lord saved them from the impending danger. Purport by His Divine Grace S.A. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The example of the elephant in danger who was saved by the Supreme Lord is especially cited here, because even if one is an animal, he can approach the personality of Godhead in devotional service. Whereas even a demigod cannot approach the Supreme Person unless he is a devotee. Om Ajnana Timrantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsa Jeevam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyatamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpade Gopisya Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gauravi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusate Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhutair Mahadhar Yai Ma Puro Vibhu నిర్మాయ శేతే యదమూష పురుష భుంక్తే గుణాన్ షోడశ షోడశాత్మక సోలంకృషీష్ట భగవాన్ వచాంసి మే. హరే కృష్ణ. A wonderful example of Gajendra is mentioned here, and the king of the elephants, who was in a great danger, and finally he took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you try to see the situation in the material world, it is always danger, danger at every step. Padam padam yat vipatam. So at every step there is danger in this material world. There is no circumstance in the material consciousness where there is complete shelter, where there is complete protection. There is nothing like that. And in material consciousness, we are trying to find what are the problems, how can we find a solution to different problems of the world. But it is just like searching in a muddy water. In a muddy water, if you try to find something, it is pretty difficult because we cannot see anything. So this is the situation of the material world. We are too limited to ascertain the ultimate cause. So if you want to solve any problem, let it be political, let it be economical, let it be just job search, anything. If you want to find the solution to the whole problems of the world, we are too limited to ascertain what is the ultimate cause. Since we are limited, we cannot find a solution. This is the reality of the world. And people do try in so many different ways. But ultimately, it is a failure. In fact, even big scientists, they try. Srila Prabhupada often used to criticize scientists. It's not just because of their scientific endeavor, but they do scientific endeavors and then on that account they want to deny the existence of God and they don't want to serve the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada was not just fanatical that he had some grudge against scientists, but when they use science to deny the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then Srila Prabhupada used to be very angry. He used to criticize very heavily. So we can see one of the modern scientists, you know, very famous, Stephen Hawking, he made a very interesting statement, because we can see he's very famous. He has done a lot of research into time and into space. So one of his conclusions was that, I really don't know what is time and space. So he's an authority and he was writing in an article that, look, I have done research for so many years, but I am still waiting to understand what is time and what is space. I am waiting for that time to understand what is time and space. So think about a very intelligent person who has dedicated all his career in research, and at the end he is telling he actually doesn't know what he was researching for many decades. And the world considers him as an authority. And at the same time, even though he is admitting his ignorance, on the same account, he is very arrogant to proclaim that there is no God, there is nothing beyond matter. So isn't it foolishness that somebody has done research for so many years and he is admitting that he doesn't know what he has researched for a few decades, and then he is telling that, but I know for sure that there is nothing beyond matter and there is no God. If you think logically, it is foolishness. In fact, that's what the researchers think. One time I was with my research supervisors back in the uni, many years back. So two of the professors, they were discussing. I was a victim. I am just observing what's going on. So it was an eye-opener to me, because they were discussing, look, if you want to do something in the field, whatever research they were doing, first of all, you had to spend at least 25, 26 or till late 20s, you had to study. Because you need to, you know, learn the basics, then get into the university, then probably do a master's and do a PhD, then at least you know what is running in the field. And then about 30, one can start the actual research and the actual contribution to the field. So maybe one can, 25 to 30 years, one can contribute to the field. And I was just thinking here, and I was thinking, oh my goodness. So this is how these people are thinking about their life. That is, whole life they want to dedicate to a narrow field, and they think that that's going to help the whole humanity, or if not, at least some intellectual satisfaction. So all these great people, apparently, they have done a lot of research, but they have come to the conclusion that we don't know anything. But most of the time, they don't want to admit that fact. In fact, Yamunacharya makes this point that we are limited by time, space, and our mental abilities. Even if we want to know anything, we are limited by space, we are limited by time. We cannot work against time, even we cannot work against space. We are limited, our reach is quite limited. And more than that, we are limited by our mind. So what's the capacity of our mind? It is very limited. So how is it possible to ascertain what is the ultimate cause and what are the ultimate solution with our tiny intelligence, with our tiny brain, with our tiny mind? It is impossible. So here, even as devotees, we have to be clear that we cannot be just blamers of the circumstances or the people. If something is going wrong or if something is going on in our life as devotees, we cannot just blame someone. Oh, he did that to me. She did that to me. Oh, this is a circumstance. We cannot be just blamers. We cannot play a blame game. It's not possible. It doesn't make sense. So as devotees, we are in a training to see what is the ultimate cause and what is the ultimate solution. And it is not only Shastra, it's not only understanding the Shastra, but application and realization. We need experiential learning. Understanding the solution, applying it, and seeing it in our day-to-day life. Seeing Krishna in our day-to-day life. Krishna's energy, Krishna's hand in our life. So here, it's a good example here. We can see Gajendra. Gajendra, he went to Trikuta Mountains, you know, in the valley of Trikuta Mountain in a lake for a picnic. And he had everything. Think about the situation of Gajendra. He had everything. He had a huge body. He didn't have to do any bodybuilding. He had a very strong body. Big, so powerful. And he had so many she elephants, so many wives, so many girlfriends. So he had material opulence. And he went to have a good time. However, this is showing the material world, the realities of the material world. Apparently he had everything, but what happened? It was totally unexpected to be in the clutches of a crocodile. You know, here it's mentioned jasha. Jasha, one meaning of jasha is fish. That's a normal meaning of jasha is fish. So the Supreme Lord's Matsya Avatar, it's also called jasha, jasha avatar. However, here, the particular meaning here, jasha is translated as alligator. So he was in the clutches of the alligator. Then what could he do? He could do nothing. He tried his best. He tried his body. He used all his strength to get out from the clutches of the alligator, of the crocodile. But he couldn't do anything. He was trying hard, but he was running out of energy. He was getting slackened in his attempts. And he was losing determination. Think about the situation of Gajendra. And think about all his companions. All the wives, what could they do? They could just cry. They couldn't do anything. See, in the material world, if you are in real problem, we need to understand that people can, at best, sympathize with our situation. But there is no solution. Sympathy can be given, so that is appreciated. Oh, he is very sympathetic towards me. Or she is very sympathetic towards me. It is very nice. But, where is the solution? There is no solution. It is just a sympathy. If you are a very popular person, if you meet with a great trouble, then maybe a lot of people may sympathize, but that's all. But there is no solution. So the same situation with Gajendra. He was in the same position. He got a lot of sympathy. He got a lot of tears, but no one could do anything. So at the end, in fact, Gajendra comes to this conclusion, you know, what can I do now? Because Gajendra is just like any of the materialists of this world. What could he do? Nothing. You know, in the material world, what people do? People want sense gratification in all circumstances. Generally, people want to, you know, there are different species of life because one can experience sense gratification in different species. Let it be in the earth, let it be in the water, let it be in the sky. One can experience sense gratification in different species of life. And humans are so intelligent that we can go to water and then try sense gratification. We can fly and then try sense gratification. So in one species, we can try to squeeze sense gratification in different planes, in the earth, in the water, and in the sky. Yesterday, I was speaking to one girl. She was talking about, in the university, she was talking about boat cruise run by Greek club. So she was telling, what is the whole purpose? Said, you know, just go there, wear the best cloth, try to find someone, you know, to party with, get drunk, and come back. So if you are going to the water, it's the purpose is all the same. If you are going to the air, purpose is the same. So the human species, if you go to any plane, the purpose is the same. It's a sense gratification. So here, Gajendra, unfortunately, he was in a wrong circumstance, right? He was in the water. It is not his natural place. And for the crocodile, it was a natural place. So he was being, you know, pulled down into the water, and he's going to be killed. Now, at that point, Gajendra was very fortunate because he had done some sukriti. He had done some devotional piety. He had done some bhakti in his previous life as King Indradumna. So he remembered the prayer, and then he came to see, he had some realization. He understood, look, my relatives and my old friends, they are strong elephants, because elephants will have elephant friends. So they couldn't help me at all. My wife, what can they do for me? They can just cry. So no one can help me but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So at the time of critical point, he came to the right conclusion. He had the right realization to approach the Supreme Lord. So this is the greatness of Gajendra, that when he was in really need, he understood who is the real friend. And then he remembered the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, as it is mentioned in this verse. And the first prayer, the first verse of Gajendra prayer, it is very interesting because Om Namo Bhagavate Tasmai Yata Eda Chidatmagam Purushaya Adi Bijaya Pareshaya Abhithimahi. The third line is very interesting because Purushaya Adi Bijaya. So I was looking at this verse, this line, Purushaya Adi Bijaya. He is the root cause of everything. So in the first prayer in itself, Gajendra is coming to the conclusion. That is, who is the cause of everything? Who is the Sarvakarana Karanam? Purushaya Adi Bijaya. So it was quite striking that because of his bhakti, because of his devotional service that he has done in the previous life, he could come to the right conclusion straight away. So when he is paying obeisances, he is paying obeisances to the Supreme Lord, who is the root of everything. He is the cause of all causes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he also mentioned, you know, his lotus feet, the Supreme Lord's lotus feet, is being worshipped by Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. So the Lord, he is very merciful. So he reciprocated well with Gajendra. He said that the Lord reciprocated to an elephant because he is into elephants. Krishna is into elephants. You know, people are into different animals. You know, some are into cats, some are into dogs. You know, some are into whales. You know, people are into different animals. Is Krishna into any of animals? He is into elephants in particular? No, he is not into elephants. But he is into bhakti. He is into his devotees. So that's why it is mentioned in this verse. Even an animal can get the shelter of the Supreme Lord. Even an animal can take shelter of the Supreme Lord. And the Lord does reciprocate with an animal. So Gajendra did that. He took shelter of the Lord. And seeing the bhakti, bhaktiya mam upahratam, you know, patram pushpam phalam toyam, yeo me bhaktiya prayachati. So here, even he offered a flower. He could offer the prayer and he could offer a flower. Think about Gajendra. He didn't offer a lot of things. Did he offer a lot of things? No. But he had the heart. He understood who the Supreme Lord is. And I have no shelter but the Supreme Lord. And he offered a very simple thing. Just a flower which he plucked from the lake. And he just offered with the prayerful mood. And the Lord accepted. So this is bhakti. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a beautiful verse in which it's mentioned, Kumana sumanastam hi yati asya padam jeyo sumana prapana matrena tam chaitanyam namamyaham. It's one of the opening verses of one of the chapters of Adi Leela, where the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is glorified. Here, a kumana, a non-devotee, Kumana means ku is used in Sanskrit not in a good sense, like, you know, Kaurava, you know, du, ku, sometimes it's used as bad, you understand? Du is also used as bad. Durbuddhi, for example, buddhi is intelligence, durbuddhi means bad intelligence, yeah. Similarly, kubuddhi, bad intelligence, so ku is not used very good. In the same way, Kumana means whose mind is completely corrupted, material consciousness. Kumana sumanattvam hi. Sumanattvam means he will become a good person in the sense he become a devotee. How? Kumana sumanattvam hi yati yasya padabjyo. Sumana arpana matrana. There is one more meaning to sumana. Sumana also means a flower. So, just by applying a sumana, that is applying a flower onto the feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even a materialist can immediately turn into a devotee. So it is mentioned, Kumana Sumanattvam hi yati yasya padabjyo sumanarpana matrena tam chaitanyam namamiham. So it's very interesting. So bhakti is that simple. So here, Gajendra did the same thing. He offered just a flower to the Supreme Lord and the Lord came to protect him. Even an animal can do that. Jananda Goswami, he has written a very interesting book. Anyone seen that book? Animals in Krishna Consciousness. So it has to be an eye-opener. Even an animal can become Krishna conscious. So what about us? So there was one interesting story of a cow in Malaysia. This cow would go and attend Bhagavatam classes. No need to be pushed by anyone. No need to be pushed by spiritual master's instruction. No need to tell by other devotees, Prabhu, you have to go, or Mataji, just go attend Bhagavatam class. Or, you know, just we think, you know, you have to go. And, you know, we just anyway do it like that. Come and sleep. No. This cow would go to Bhagavatam classes every day. And interestingly enough, there, because it is it's a country having multiple languages, so if the Bhagavatam class is in Tamil, the cow would listen. He will listen and he will listen the whole thing and he will go. But if it is in Malay, cow just, you know, struggles. A little bit sits here and there. And just takes off. This was the situation of the cow. Then, one time, so this was happening practically every day. Cow will come, he will come for even Mangalarti, he will come to the temple, he will listen, he will go like that. Then it went on for some time, and one point they changed the center. So, definitely they didn't inform, email to cow. Okay, now we are going to change the center. But they changed. And the cow was not coming for some time. He didn't come for some time. But after a few weeks, cow found out where the center is. And he started coming. So this is animals in Krishna consciousness, you know. Even animals can become devotees. So in another nice example, because this example I have heard from my childhood about an elephant in Kerala from Guruvayur. His name is Keshavan. He was a big elephant. So now also if you go to Guruvayur temple, this time I went, I came from India just a bit over a week, maybe 10 days. So I went to Guruvayur temple. So when you enter the temple, just outside the main door, there is two big tusks, are the big ones, the huge ones. So it is Keshavan's. After his departure, it is offered to the Lord, to Krishna. So this Keshavan was very interesting because he used to follow Ekadashi without a calendar. Because elephants, they don't have access to any calendar. No, you know, to check online. No, he couldn't do anything. But he used to follow Ekadashi. He wouldn't eat anything on Ekadashi day. And he had such an service attitude, such a great eager to serve the Lord that he wanted to always carry the Lord. Because the tradition is that every day, the Lord, morning and the evening, the Lord's Utsavamurti is carried on top of the elephant and you go for a procession, at least around the temple. So it's every day, morning and evening. So he wouldn't allow any other elephant to carry the Lord. He would fight. So he has to carry the Lord. And he was the biggest elephant and he used to carry the Lord. So he was going on whole life, he served Krishna. So they are actually great devotees because of some offense or some circumstance. They got into the body of an animal. And then finally, when he was about to depart the world, he fasted. And finally he paid obeisances and he in front of the Lord and then he departed. So these are animals in Krishna consciousness. So even an animal, they can surrender unto the lotus feet of Krishna. So this is the point that is mentioned. So we can see age old examples, just like Gajendra, and also we can see the elephants and different animals of current age, they also have surrendered unto the lotus feet of Krishna. And bhakti, that's what Krishna is looking for. And what is mentioned here, interestingly enough, here it is mentioned about the Gajendra meditated upon the lotus feet of the Lord. So the lotus feet of the Lord is very, very important. As it's mentioned in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in Kunti Maharani's prayers, that we often look at the lotus feet of the Lord first, that is the recommendation, and then go up to show respect. So we start from the lotus feet of the Lord, and then we look up when we take darshan or when we look up upon as a great personality. So that is the etiquette. So it is mentioned, for the devotees, lotus feet of the Lord is very important. In the first canto itself, there is a verse that that mentioned this point. Siyo nivaso yasya ora. So I'll explain line by line. Siyo nivaso yasya oraha. Shriya means goddess of fortune. Nivasa, the shelter. Yasya oraha means his chest. The Lord's Krishna's chest is the resting place for Shri, for the goddess of fortune. Shriyo nivaso yasyora. Panapatram mukham drishyam. Panapatram. Panapatram means pana, you know, the drinking. Panapatram. It's a vessel to drink. For what? To drink the beauty. If you have the whole beauty of the world, all the beauty, if you place in a vessel, that is mukham drishyam. That is the face of the Lord. So the chest is a resting place for goddess of fortune, and the Lord's face is the vessel that has all the beauty. Okay, then panapatram mukham drisham bahavo lokapalanam, and for his hands, bahava, his both his hands, that is the shelter for all the administrative demigods. Bahavo lokapalanam. So for the demigods, if they had to execute their functions of this world, then they need to take shelter of the hands of the Lord. That is showing the execution. And finally, saranganam padambujam. And for saranganam padambujam, here both are important. Padambujam, we understand from this verse, is the same as charanambujam. But saranga, a devotee is addressed as saranga. Saranga means saram gayati iti saranga. That's the definition. Saram means, what is the meaning of saram? Saram is the essence. He can understand, a devotee can understand what is the essence of everything. What is the root of everything? What is the cause of everything? So, a devotee, he is expert in understanding what is the root cause of everything. And he can connect everything to that root cause. That is Krishna. And he can connect the whole material energy, all the material existence, everything into that root cause. And to the life, everything can be connected to that root cause. So, saram giyati means one who is expert in glorifying the Supreme Lord. Saranganam padambuja. And for him, it is the padambuja. It is the lotus feet of the Lord. So a devotee takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. In fact, in that purport, Srila Prabhupada explains a poem written by Srila Rupa Goswami, where it is mentioned that Rupa Goswami prays to take shelter of the honey-like lotus feet of the Lord. He is called Makaranda Rasam. Makaranda. Makaranda means honey. So the lotus feet of the Lord is like Makaranda. In fact, if we approach Rupa Goswami's verses or Acharya's verses or verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll find a very interesting thing that yesterday I think I was discussing with Harshal Prabhu this point. It is very interesting because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions we can read in Chaitanya Charitamrita that he tells that what is the use of a poem of a poet if it cannot strike, it cannot pierce the heart, and at the same time it should spin the head. What's the use of a poetry if we cannot actually pierce the heart and then spin the head? It is a very important message. The message is that, and it is, so who is compared here as the real hunter? The hunter's arrows are compared to the poems, the poetry of Srila Rupa Goswami, because it has the capacity to pierce the heart and also cause spinning to the head. What does that mean? It means that A poet, when he presents something, the poetry, it should actually touch the heart. It has to be fulfilling the heart. And at the same time, it should satisfy the head. So, when we see the verses of Rupa Goswami, we can see this quality. It is so appealing for the heart because it has so much of rasa. At the same time, it can satisfy the intelligence. So, the same principle is applicable to Srimad Bhagavatam, verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is presenting the highest philosophy. Many times philosophy can be quite boring. You know, it's just, you know, just goes and on and on and on. It's just philosophy. For example, Bhagavatam is considered Nigama Kalpa Taror Galitam Phalam, right? Shukamukha Tamardadrava Samyutam. Srimad Bhagavatam is, it's the Galitam Phalam. Galitam means which is completely ripened fruit of the Vedic literature. But there is an unripened fruit also for the Vedic literature. And what is that? Anyone knows? What is the unripened fruit of Vedic literature? Can anyone guess? Upanishads, that's right. Upanishads. That is also giving the whole message, but it's unripened stage. It's also fruit. So one cannot get rasa out of it, generally. One who is advanced can. But generally one cannot relish because it's philosophical. So Srimad Bhagavatam is presenting the highest philosophy, but in a very tasteful way. So there is philosophy, but there is taste to it. So that is the greatness of Srimad Bhagavatam. And when the great devotees, when they glorify the lotus feet of the Lord, they take both the approaches. They give the greatness of the lotus feet of the Lord and also the sweetness of the lotus feet of the Lord. So here, you know, there are verses in Srimad Bhagavatam which addresses these issues. That is, one is showing the greatness. That is, you know, Vikridanchita Giritrara Marchidangri. It's a 10th canto verse. It is mentioned, okay, if you want to know the greatness of the Supreme Lord's lotus feet, understand it is being worshipped by Vikridanchita Giritra Ramarchitangri. It is being worshipped by Virincha. It is worshipped by Lord Brahma. It is worshipped by Lord Shiva. It is worshipped by Goddess of Fortune. So, like that, it is giving a comparison, it is giving an understanding. Oh, it is a great feat that we have to approach that great feat of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, Srila Prabhupada's disciples, the initial disciples, they asked Srila Prabhupada, what is the importance, what is the significance of lotus feet of Krishna? If you have read Leelamrita, you can remember this question. Remember in the early days, devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, what is the significance of lotus feet of Krishna? Then Srila Prabhupada quotes a verse. What is that verse? Anyone knows? It's a very easy guess. Should be able to, one should be able to remember this verse. It's about Padam. The Padam verse, anyone knows, right? Samashritaye padapallava plavam mahat padam punyesho murare bhambu dhirvatsa padam paramam padam 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 yadvipatam natesham. Around 7 times it is mentioned, Padam. Showing the greatness of the lotus feet of the Lord. It is mentioned, Srila Prabhupada would chant this verse again and again, and the devotees would repeat again and again. Till it became, you know, memorized, you know, came to the mind like that. They were repeating and, you know, memorizing that verse. I remember many years back, I was with the devotees, I think, in Bhaktivedanta. So I think we all sat and recited this verse for many times to memorize. So, yes. So, this is, if you see this verse, it is in connection to the material creation, the suffering of the material creation. That if you take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, then the whole material problems, whatever we think, and the notion of problems will shrunk into just a hole, you know, a calf's hoof print, which can, how much water a calf's hoof print can fit? Only a few drops, you know, or a cup. But the whole material ocean of problem can shrunk into that small portion. So that is the greatness of the lotus feet of the Lord. So this is in connection to our material suffering. So on one side, the scriptures, like Bhagavatam, gives the greatness of the Supreme Lord. Then also it presents what is the relevance to us. Because it is actually encouraging us to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Saying, okay, if you have a lot of problems, don't worry, come along, worship the Lord. Then all the problems will be gone away. So it's mentioned in another verse in the 11th canto, as the Lord's lotus feet is compared to Dhumaketu. Dhumaketu means a fiery comet. lotus feet is compared to a fiery comet. Why? Here it is nice, wearing a padambujam. It is like a lotus flower, very beautiful. It is very attractive. But at the same time, it is compared to a fiery comet. Why it is compared to a fiery comet? Because a fiery comet can burn anything. It has power to burn anything. In the same way, the Lord's lotus feet can burn the material desires which are burning in our heart. Isn't it very good? Especially for practicing devotees, we can see it is really, really nice. You know, so many material desires that are coming in our service, in between our service, you know, in thinking about the Lord, so many other thoughts are coming in. So the Lord's lotus feet has such an ability to, you know, to burn away all these kinds of unwanted things in our heart. So that is Dhumaketu. So the Lord's lotus feet is not just Ambujam, but it is Dhumaketu. So it's a great boat as well, you know. It's a great boat. So many examples, great boat, right? If you hop onto that boat, then we can cross over the material ocean. Padam padam yasvi padam natesham, that one. And the great acharyas, they have crossed the ocean of material existence and they have left behind that boat for us. That is the lotus feet of the Lord. And in fact, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, again, Uddhava mentions another interesting glory of the lotus feet of the Lord. So I am mentioning this glory of the lotus feet of the Lord? In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Srila Sanatan Goswami makes a very interesting statement that a sadhaka generally has to be interested in glory of the lotus feet of the Lord. In other words, a sadhaka should get attached to glory of the Supreme Lord. And one has to understand, or one should have an eagerness, oh, what's the glory of the lotus feet of the Lord? What is so great about it? So one needs to develop that eagerness. It's a kind of dhyana, but that is necessary for a sadhaka to be encouraged to worship the Lord. So we have the rasa and we have the reason to worship the personality of Godhead. Whereas a sadhaka, not a sadhaka, a sadhya, he loves Krishna. So the love is overtaking everything else. He is not really calculating, oh, okay, these are the glories of the Supreme Lord, so I must surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord. He's not thinking like, he just loves the Supreme Lord. Say for example, Rupa Goswami's verse, you know, Makaranda Rasam, he's just seeing the Makaranda Rasam. He's thinking about the lotus feet of the Lord. He's only seeing the taste of honey. So he's telling, okay, let my mind be attached to that honey-like lotus feet of the Lord. So that is more attraction. But for us, we need to hear the glories of the Supreme Lord's lotus feet. So yeah, Uddhava quotes this verse. Uddhava says this as if he were a conditioned soul. Uddhava is not a conditioned soul. He's an eternal associate of the Lord. But he narrates this verse for us. He says, Tapatrayana abhyadasya khore sandapyamanasya bhavadhanisha pashyami nanya charanam tavankri dvantadapatradamrita abhivarsha. He's actually mentioning our position. Exactly, any living entity, even a devotee practically living in this world. Tapatrayana abhyadasya ghore. Ghore means intense. Tapatraya, you know, the threefold miseries. So think about a living entity who is afflicted by the intense threefold miseries. Santapya manasya bhavadhanisha. Santapya manasya, santapi, such an anxiety, such a stress because of the tapatraya, by the threefold miseries. And then Uddhava says, Pashyami nanya charanam tavankri. I am seeing no other shelter other than your lotus feet. And then he says, he glorifies the lotus feet of the Lord as an umbrella which is pouring nectar. Cooling nectar is being poured from this umbrella. So it's just, there's a scorching heat. And one is an umbrella, one is under the shade of an umbrella, but this umbrella is dropping nectar, cooling nectar into the body. So that is the lotus feet of the Lord. So which is true, actually, the lotus feet of the Lord is so powerful. We get such a shelter. If we have any problem actually in our devotional life, what do we have to do? We had to do the corrective measures, of course. And if you are really helpless, what do we have to do? We had to go in front of the Lord and pray sincerely. That's all we had to do. If we have any problem, practically. It doesn't mean that we don't need to endeavor. But definitely, if we pray, we get the inspiration how to endeavor. If we are stuck, what we had to do? We had to think about Krishna. That's what Uddhava is telling. If yes, we don't know what to do, then what we had to do? Think about Krishna. That's all. If we remember one thing, then life is saved. We don't need to remember all the solutions, but only one solution, if we think, if we remember, then life is saved. It is really good. Just think about Krishna. Then Krishna will give a solution. We have that experience always. Sometimes, who has the difficulty in controlling the senses and the mind? Has any difficulty in controlling the mind and the senses? I have. Thoughts comes which are not very palatable. And we may feel, you know, am I going to be defeated by the material energy? Am I going to lose Krishna consciousness altogether? Yeah, this is the position of the conditioned entity who is even practicing Krishna consciousness. So the Lord assures, don't worry. This verse, I like this verse actually. Badhyamanopi madbhakta visheer ajitendriyaha. Okay, this is a badhyamanopi madbhakta. Even though my devotee is completely captured by sense gratification. Okay, badhyamano, badhya means being completely bound. He's trying to practice, he's a devotee, he's trying to practice Krishna consciousness, but he's finding it difficult to control the senses. Badhyamanopi madbhakta visheer ajitendriyaha. Ajitendriya means not jitendriyaha. No, he hasn't conquered the senses. So this is ajitendriya. He hasn't conquered the senses. So senses are still giving trouble. But the Lord says, prayat pragalbhya bhaktiya visheer nabhi bhuyate. But if one still continues unflinching devotional service, if one actually stick to devotional service, then ultimately he will become successful. This is the hope that we have. So one shouldn't think with the controlling the mind or the senses, there can be failures. It's not that we have to fail, but in terms of the mind, it's very difficult. We can have fall downs within the mind, especially in Kali Yuga, but one shouldn't think, you know, okay, let's give up everything. The point is, the Lord is assuring, still continue devotional service. Praya pragalbhya bhaktiya, sincere devotional service. By that, one can conquer the senses. One can conquer the mind. So this is the assurance of the Lord. So the Lord is assuring, okay, you come to me, I'll take care. So this is the point that because of that bhakti, the Lord protects. The Lord is looking at the bhakti. Even though we have so many problems, still because of bhakti, the Lord is ready to give shelter. And he will give the intelligence so that we can move forward. Just like we can see the example of Gajendra. The Lord only saw, what did he see? He saw that devotion. He didn't see what kind of worship is he doing. Is he not offering me, you know, all the 64 items of, you know, upachara, 64 items of worships? He's not thinking like that. He's not looking at Gajendra, he's an animal. Big, huge, black body. He's not thinking like that. He's not thinking, look, he was enjoying with, you know, hundreds and thousands of, you know, she elephants. He never thought about me. He's not thinking like that. Okay, there is a fall down for Gajendra, but the Lord saw that bhakti and reciprocated. In the same way, we need to see, in the same position, we need to approach the Lord. If we have trouble, we have to think about Krishna. And if we find really, really difficult, definitely, we approach the Lord, but when we are in need, approach the Lord and request. The Lord can actually remove the covering. He can give the control for the mind and the senses. It is possible. So this is the Lord. So all dealings with the Lord is very personal. So as devotees, this verse is very relevant because it's a very beautiful way of, you know, thinking about the Lord's feet of the Lord. And definitely we have to develop that meditation of Krishna. Because Shravanam Kirtanam has to lead to Smaranam. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnoha Smaranam. That's what we need. So when we think about Krishna, then, okay, we can deal with the material world. We can be out of material consciousness because in the mind, Krishna is there. So with that, I stop and see if there are any questions or comments. Yeah. That's that's the reason we have everyday Bhagavatam classes. That's why we read everyday Srila Prabhupada books. That's why we are in association of the devotees. All of these things are actually helping us to remind us of Krishna. So we are forgetful. What you said is right. Maya covers. And if you are not in the association of the devotees, if you are not reading Srila Prabhupada's books, if you are not hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, then it is difficult to remember Krishna. So we need to be reminded. So that makes a difference. Yeah. Any? Yes, Prabhu?
Why the Gajendra was saying one of the greatest devotee of the Lord? Because when he was in problem, only at that time he called Krishna. But at that time he was injured. So what is the reason that he is one of the greatest devotees? When you are in a problem, of course, you have to approach to Lord. There is no other way. So it is kind of...
The thing is, only a devotee can approach the Supreme Lord when he is in danger. If one is not a devotee, how can he approach the Lord at the time of danger? There are many people who are in danger. Are they all approaching the Supreme Lord? The motivation could be different. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita in the 7th chapter, the 4 kinds of people who surrender are to Krishna. Artha Jnasra Artha Jnani Cha Bharata Shabha. So Artha is a qualification. Artha means suffering. To approach the Lord, what kind of devotee? Actually, Gajendra is considered as a neophyte. He's a great devotee, he's a neophyte, considered a neophyte. Because the intention was suffering. Suffering actually caused him to approach the Supreme Lord. But that is the right qualification to become a pure devotee. So Srila Prabhupada quotes Gajendra's example in Nectaral Devotion. So even though he approached for this reason, Artha, as a suffering, but it became the right qualification to become purified and become a great devotee. So Gajendra is a great devotee. So even though he was enjoying, he approached the Lord. And even though there was a material desire as a reason to approach the Lord, he got purified, he became a great devotee anyway. So he's a great devotee. And we had to see Gajendra, even though he was enjoying, that is mentioned, it is a fall down from the devotional platform. He was King Indradumna who was meditating, he was worshipping the Lord. Then he got cursed, then he got the birth as an elephant. So it was a fall down definitely. But since he had done the devotion before, since he was a devotee, so at the time of need, he actually knew about the Supreme Lord. So that is great. Our whole Krishna consciousness is to remember Krishna. Because if you see this padam padam yat vipadam, right? It's a place of danger, so we had to remember Krishna all the time. It's not in the sadhya bhakti, it's not in the perfected devotional service. It's an item, you know, smartavya satadam vishnu vismartavya na jatu chat. You know, this is the definition of sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is always remember Krishna and never forget him. This is the definition of sadhana bhakti. This is what we have to practice. All the limbs of bhakti, Bhagavatam, association of the devotees, prasadam, everything is helping us to come to this point to remember Krishna all the time. Because it's the place of danger. So, yeah, we have to practice remembering Krishna. We have to practice. Yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Why was Indradumna Maharaj
cursed? Anyone remembers which sage was walking by? One of the sages was walking by and Indradumna was, King Indradumna was meditating and he didn't pay respect to that sage. So the sage said, you know, yeah, you're worshipping the Lord but you're not worshipping the devotee. You're not caring for the devotee. Okay, now next life you become, you know, like a stone-like existence of an elephant, you know, not very sensitive. So, he got the body of an elephant. But, of course, Gajendra realized when he was in the clutches of the crocodile, he realized, he mentions that, look, even though by providence I am in this situation, but this is an opportunity to worship the Lord. So, all the devotional credits came to that place and he could see the Supreme Lord face to face. So, when the great sages, when they curse, there is a hidden benediction. So, yeah. Yeah. Yes,
ma'am.
What is that? Tenth canto, that's for sure. 10:14:58. Okay, so it's in Brahma's prayers. Is it? Okay, that's good. So 10:14:58. So it's in the Brahma's prayers. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.